Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Yep. I can see Alroy at 55, 60 years old, and India qualifies for a 55-team World Cup by hosting it. He's celebrating.
Yeah, he'll chest thumping moment for Akash then. Hello guys, and welcome to another episode of the Injury Time Podcast, your one-stop shop for everything on Indian football. Well, before we go further, just wishing everyone who's celebrating a happy Easter. Hope you had a great time with your family, and the most important thing, stay safe and stay healthy. Well, and now carrying on. Today probably marks the last episode for us for the season. But hey, you know, like it said, every end could probably mark the beginning of something else, and here at Injury Time, we could probably bring out something new in the off-season, which always ends up being longer than what the season in Indian football is. So stick around, look out, and we could have something for you in very short time. Carrying on, you know, guys, this is a footnote special episode, a series where we try and answer all your questions that you've shared with us over the past few days. But before we go ahead answering your questions, before we start the Sawal Jawab ka silsila, there are two things that need attention and discussion. Two things that happened over the course of period since we dropped our last episode. First is the men's senior team, the national team of the country, playing two friendlies in Dubai. And the second, the dates for the latest season of the Indian Women's League, the Women's Football League in the country, were announced. So we will begin with that, and then we will move on to the questions. And to help me address these two aspects and also to answer your questions are three of the guys who have been following Indian football pretty closely. First up, Sandeep, who joins us after another long day of work, which I'm assuming is not yet done. Hey, Sandeep.
Hello, I'm just about done. I was just waiting for you to, thankfully that you went on a rant during the intro. So yeah, I managed to finish the time.
I'm just giving you some spare time to finish off your work.
Yes, let's go with that.
Too considerate like that. And the other person joining us, Akash, a man who's somewhat under a COVID scare. Akash, how are you keeping up?
All well. I still have to get my results. This might be the last time you hear me, just for the listeners. Okay.
Yeah, for the season is what he means.
What did you say?
And also, guys, before we move on and start discussing, we have a new voice this time around, Abresh Mina, who joins us also from Delhi. Abresh Mina, hey, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Abresh Mina, before we move on, let me tell my listeners that you are, like us, an Indian football follower and a journalist with the News 18 Group, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's, guys, that's Abresh Mina for you guys. So let's just begin on. First up, the national team were in action two matches. First against Oman, which ended in a 1-1 draw. And the second one, everyone remembers this, a 6-0 loss to the United Arab Emirates. Football Baba, first up, coming to you, your takeaway from both the matches.
Very, very difficult to have any positive takeaways. Yeah, I really liked our goal in the first leg. I think the precision of that goal is something that we can sort of aspire to sort of achieve in the future as well. I don't know why do we have this narrative around keeping possession and playing with the ball, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, the best football that we've played across the last two decades has been this precise counter-attacking football. And I mean, there was a time where we were playing passing football, but I really liked our goal. I mean, that is what we aspire to. We pressed high. We quickly turned possession into attack, and it was such a Manveer is I'm quite a fan of Manveer because I think he has the presence and the technical quality and just the physique and everything to actually take over and lead the lineup. So that was a huge positive. I'd like to forget the UAE game completely. I don't even know what we were doing there. there really wasn't any positives from that.
All right. Abreshmila, what about you, man? Two matches, two friendlies to say, to let me just put it out that those were friendly. Should we look much into the result or should we look how the team, it was a new setup, right? A lot of new players called up after their performance in the ISL. So should we look more into this result?
Yeah, I understand that there were new people, but it's not like they didn't know each other at all or they hadn't played at all. They had pretty good time to, you know, prepare and everything. And I think, yeah, I mean, like Stimat said, I mean, obviously it's experimentation, so it's fine. But still losing 6-0 is way too much, even if you are experimenting, right? So, yeah, I mean, it. Maybe not too much into the results, but definitely if he is also looking to take out and understand his players, I mean, we can also be looking at the results and judging the players, right? I mean, he is doing the same thing as a coach, correct?
Right. Hey, Sandeep, let me ask you this. Stimaj, after the UAE match in the last few days, in the interviews that he's given out, he said that this team is in transition and results will come down the line. But isn't this something that we've been hearing since, say, 2011? A team that has been in transition, coaches have come and gone. And every single coach who comes in says, this is a transition period. Results will come down the line. But when somewhat results start coming, you just get rid of that coach and you bring someone new in.
See, getting rid of the coach, I'm not too concerned about that. But it's generally the narrative is, we'll give 50 people the caps and see who can fit in what. And then go from there. Like, whatever said and done, Constantine, he knew his team. By the time we reached the Asian Cup at that time, he knew what kind of football he wanted to play and what kind of football his players could potentially play. And that is very important, right? And look, this whole stupid narrative that India can play passing football like the second coming of Spain and all is just bullshit. Whatever happens...
All bullshit on that.
Yeah, whatever happens in ISL... if you take out Jahu, Bedias and the defensive center backs and the Hugo Bumus of the ISL, 11 Indian players cannot play like Mumbai City or FC Goa or whatever it is. Because these guys sort of make up for the inadequacies of our players. Now, when you go to the international level and try to pass from the back, the last two or three goals against UAE is because you couldn't pass from the back. And there were a couple of times when they were not punished also. Over the course of the two games. And our best effort, so to speak, has come even from youth system. The Asian under-16 against Korea, I think. We defended for the entire thing and almost took them to the penalties. Asian Cup against UAE, defended and almost... we didn't nick it, but yeah, anyway, they defended for a long time and that was a decent performance. To go and think that you can pass through a team like UAE is it's a little... naive, I would say.
Yeah, another word, probably stupid. Akash, coming to you. So, this is what I gather from both the matches and having seen the team play over the course of the past few years. One, you had a coach who played to the strengths of the team. You had a Constantine who came out and said, bro, these guys cannot play a passing football. Let me play to their strength and let me try and get results. And which he eventually did at the fag end of his time as the Indian football coach. But here comes a new man, Igor Stimac, who says, I want to play this brand of football and I will drill that into the players, even though probably the players are not adequately fit to do this. So how does a national team coach approach the job? Unlike when it comes to club football, you have that liberty of getting in players, buying the players who could play the kind of football you want to play. At the national team level, you don't have that luxury.
Yeah, I'm glad you put it that way because... I think Constantine's approach was actually pretty smart and brilliant. I was not his supporter even till 2018, right? He used to pick players which would baffle all of us. How are these players in the squad? But essentially, when you look back at his entire tenure, Constantine ran the national team like a club. And that is the only way to run this national team because there is nothing in our calendar which supports the national team. I mean, the ISL did not even break for national team matches for 5 seasons or 4 seasons. That is how poorly the ISL treated the national team. Players wanted to play in the ISL more than the national team. What Constantine did is he chose the same set of players again and again and again. He sort of ignored a lot of better performances from other players, but he built a unit who had been together for so long. And that is the culmination of sort of the performance in the Asian Cup, which was brilliant, according to me, at least for the first two matches. And we had cold feet in the third match. But in the first two matches, we were so brilliant. And that was a culmination of Constantine's really hard stance. You know, he took up all criticism, you know, your Sumit Passi criticism, etc., etc. Then played Ashik in a role which was completely outsmarted opponents. I thought Constantine was brilliant. There is a bit of me who has sympathies for Stimac, because I think the national team coach role is the toughest job in Indian football. There is no system that supports a good performance for the national team, right? But even saying that, like, even if I consider this to be friendlies and I ignore the result, right? Even if I consider that, the performance against UAE was really poor. Like, this cannot be. For all your hype, for all the hype the Indian Super League generates, right? You are telling me that there aren't even as a second string team, there shouldn't be an Indian team which was so poor, which would play so poorly. This is considering how much hype the ISL generates and how much credit it gets, right? I think it cannot be both ways. Like, there has to be some sort of realism that needs to come. The other thing I wanted to point out is the hypocrisy here. Yeah, sure, we shouldn't be sort of looking at the results, etc., right? But the All India Football Federation over the last 4 years has hyped up every single result played behind closed doors, whether it be beating Argentina. Nobody knows what kind of, well, I know what kind of team Argentina played.
We all know.
Yeah, so and Italy was the biggest embarrassment. You can see Virinder Sehwag's tweet. It has got gazillion thousands and thousands of likes. It is still up that we beat Italy. It just traveled. The information traveled. So when on the one hand, you are hyping up all these exhibition results, right? And on the other hand, then you sort of saying this shouldn't be a meltdown. It should be considered as a friendly. It cannot go both ways. There has to be. I mean, if that's the way you've taught us, right? Every friendly result counts. Every friendly result means this is a new dawn for Indian football. Now, if you're losing 6-0 and you're telling me, yeah, it's just a friendly, then I'm not going to take that shit, right? I mean, I'm just stepping up as a football fan. I understand that friendlies don't matter. Although the 6-0 result was particularly poor, I felt, from a performance standpoint, not from a result standpoint. I generally don't care about results. But also that Stimac, sorry, the last point I'm going on. Stimac, does Stimac have a result in his, has any result which should sort of, you know, every manager has this card you can play. I achieved this result, right? And that's why I can experiment. I can do this and that. Stimac doesn't have that result yet. Maybe the Qatar draw, that was under him, right? That was under him. But he's gone on and, you know, our World Cup qualification campaign is a complete mess. Probably the worst right now till for ages. Right? And I just generally don't like his media posturing as well. Mm-hmm. So while I have sympathies for the national team coach role, I think it's the toughest job in Indian football and there is no win in that role.
All right.
I think building a profile from a media standpoint, etc., I think they're just trying too hard. I prefer a coach who can just, you know, little be a little humble and work on the sides. And Constantine actually stood up for the national team. Even in his first stint, he stood up for the national team.
Absolutely.
When players were sleeping in a stadium,
right,
in a very poor condition, he stood up for the players. Then he stood up and called out the ISL this time as well. I prefer such coaches who are sort of challenging the norm.
Right.
But let's see. Yeah.
Well, Sandeep, let me ask you this. Constantine, yes, a few of the team selection players that he called up were baffling to the world out there, like to the Indian football world. Rahul Beke missing out despite his performance at the club level. Drew a lot of questions then. One I remember was his persistence with Robin Singh during his earlier phase. These are the two things that stand out for me. But under Stimac, he's called out the fan favorites. He's called out the players who have somewhat performed in air quotes in the domestic leagues. But these guys, the performance has not translated at the national level. Playing international football is a completely different beast, isn't it? Is Stimac the right man for this job?
Look, I don't think it is our job or getting to call for the coach's head. I'm never going to say a coach should be sacked or otherwise. But there are some
Sandeep,
things
let
that
me
happen.
Ask you this. 12 matches that he's played, India's won just one. And of the draws, yes, that Qatar a draw against Qatar away from home was a big deal. But apart from that, the results doesn't show anything.
But maybe we are miscalculating how good India is. Now, let's break it down, right? Indian football is probably around 16 to 20 best in Asia. The Indian level of football for the national team, let's say. You are going to play in a tournament where top 24 teams are going to be selected. So, I think you should make it, nonetheless. And then you're playing... Look at the culture of Indian football. So, there is such a thing as culture of football, which people often forget. Like, you make fun of Mourinho for saying football heritage, as he says. But the thing, it is actually something that is true. Like, you be after every single defeat, there is a fan meltdown saying, coach, act the coach, this is that, you know, whole thing is going to shit, nothing is working. At the other end, the smart, the I was going to say BCC, the AIFF people working there and, you know, these certain journalists and all will be like, yeah, you know what, you should not turn your back, like, you know, magnanimously, you should not turn your back on your national team when they lose all these fans in airports and all. A fan investment is money and passion. Money, though, they're giving you. So you are telling them not to be passionate also. That doesn't make any sense to me. On top of that, you our football culture is what? Nothing is there. We go to everything we keep saying, oh, no infrastructure, no coaching, no this thing, no that thing. You think a Sergio Aguero played in pristine grounds and came up from Argentina? Argentina, Uruguay, worst places in terms of all these infrastructure and things. But they have an amazing culture. They play on mud grounds and whatever it is in these black tournaments, in the small places where you kick and pass and, you know, beat each other to get the ball. That's the passion that they have. And they come up from there. So we have so many good grounds which are not used. Just go and walk around wherever you are. If you see an empty ground, how many coaching camps are going on? How often does those, you know, the courts and these whatever grounds get used for coaching and training and things of that nature? We have clubs and other people who have their academy. They'll come train Monday, 1 hour every day or something like that. Hardly ever play proper matches. So this will all escalate and come into a situation where this is where we are. So there's no point in sitting and lying and crying about it once things go bad. And then all these agents will come and start talking about, oh, we can get a person of Indian origin who are playing outside. Because Afghanistan's got some of them. The UAE has got some of them. Qatar has got some of them. Exchange fellows. What are you saying, man? Just try and fix the problem, right? You bring one Yan Nanda from somewhere who's tweeting about Indian football. Never in his life has he watched one football game of India. Now he's tweeting about Indian football. And then you have all these other guys fostering and all. What are you going to do? They're going to come play 10 matches a year. Ask them to. They're so desperately passionate about playing for India. You give up your passport and you come here. In tennis, they had asked Rajiv Ram to leave the UK, US passport and come here. Mm-hmm. He was initially saying, okay, fine, I'll play for India. And then when they said, do you have to give up US passport? He said, no. And they moved on. Two things happened there. One, the AITA moved on. Two, these guys figured out, oh, okay, I've got too much things to lose here. I have a life here. The quality is better. Everything is better. I'm not going to check that out. Not everybody can make a life like Akshay Kumar in India and not have an Indian passport. So, this really pisses me off, this player of Indian origin bullshit. And again, it's just agents. Agents just pushing their agenda. Come on, people, wake up.
Right. Sandeep, we'll do a deep dive into PIOs in the few questions that we need to answer in the footnote part of this recording. But Abhishek, coming to you, taking forward this conversation, I'm coming to you with the next question. Sandeep spoke about the lack of footballing culture in India per se. But India lacks a sporting culture. Let's just say that, right? If you keep cricket aside, there is no sporting culture in this country with respect to other sports. But despite that, there are a lot of Olympic disciplines per se, who tend to generate good players over the course of period. So what is that the footballing community or the footballing fraternity in India is not doing right? When an Olympic discipline an Olympic sport can do that.
See, actually, you know, when you see or in overall terms, none of the Olympic sports except for maybe your badminton, which sparked a little, which is also going through downtime right now. But apart from that, you don't really have anything to harp about, even in the rest of the Olympic sports. But particularly in football, I mean, like Sandeep mentioned, I mean, you do need some sort of culture, and you do, you know, it, the system overall has to help, the people around have to help, and it's more about how much a kid plays right from the start. For us as a nation, having a stable job or you know, earning some amount of money and living a stable life is far more important than, you know, going into an uncertain arena that is sport.
Yeah, doctor, yeah, so, bad job.
हाँ मतलब हमारा वही है ना, हमारा जनरली वही रहता है ना, मम्मी पापा भी यही बोलते हैं बचपन से, खेलना क्यों है, मतलब कुछ यू नो फाइंड समथिंग स्टेबल टू डू एंड अर्न एंड देन सी व्हाटएवर यू वांट टू डू. सो that is how, you know, we live as a nation, because for us it's as a nation, because we're not very developed nation, and also it's very difficult for us to move ahead in those terms, which is what makes it very difficult. Plus you don't have regular tournaments or regular leagues for kids, you know, right from the start. So it just gets very difficult to have kids ingrained with football skills, which is very important. Everything like Akash said, he doesn't care about results, and he's right, you know, especially in the starting stage, you don't have to care about the results. All you should be caring about is the development. But over here, we harp so much on the results that we forget about the development bit. Everyone right from the start is not looking to win each battle. People, even kids, just want to win somehow. They're not looking at how they're doing or what they're doing every single moment or every single day. It's so much result oriented that it gets very disorienting for everyone.
Right.
So it's just a mixture of all these things.
All right. Akash, this brings me to another interesting point that you have extensively covered over the past, which is age fraud in Indian football per se. That also plays a really crucial role. Like it just stops, or it just hampers this entire process in a really, really bad way, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's why it's very hard for me to get excited, or anybody, even an Abrish Mina or a Sandeep, who understand age fraud very well. It's very hard to get excited about Indian football. You can call out any youngsters, or the future is bright, etc., etc. But when you know behind the scenes that these players are actually much older than reality, than they portray, then you have to factor it in. And somebody we are crying out is fantastic at the age of 17 is not actually 17. And that will eventually neutralize 5 years down the line. And these players will go missing, or they're not going to be able to perform at the same level. Right now they're standing out because, well, they have a bigger physique, they have more experience also in terms of actual years lived. Recently I got a call from somebody who's forming his own World Cup batch for the year 2034, and I was told that even when they were recruiting at the age bracket 5 to 9, 50% of the players were turned out to be age fraud later. When they recruited, set up everything, and they brought them into one place, 50% of people in the age brackets 5 to 9 turned out to be age frauds. And the only way to solve age fraud was to start early, to get them into the system early, so that you have their ages and you have their official ages, etc. And if it's still happening at the ages of 5 to 9, then we really don't have hope. And unfortunately, the news cycle or the memory cycle is such that it doesn't matter. What we are discussing today won't matter 1 year down the line. We are going to discuss the same thing, and we're going to say it like it's being said as a new thing. there is no memory. There's no stickiness anymore in the world.
Well, we're just recycling the same old stuff over and over again. Let me just bring this topic to closure with Sandeep. Sandeep, let me ask you this. We've been following Indian football for quite some time now. And transition is a word that, team in transition is a phrase that we've heard for quite some time. How long before we actually transition into something fruitful?
I mean, India will always be a team in transition, because every young player who's supposed to be the next big thing 3 years down the line, they stop being the next big thing. Now, you can say whatever is the reason for it. Like, you can look at Vedanta, who has regressed. You can look at Ashik, who was supposed to be a striker, now playing as a left back. So, when the first lineup came, I was sort of hoping that Ashik was one of the front three. And apparently, that is again not the case. So, we keep transitioning because our sort of experienced players keep falling off their form, just keeps falling off a cliff. And then you have to bring in the youngsters one after the other. Like, who apart from, say, a Sunil or a Sandesh for that matter, has stayed at that level for at least the last 6 years? Everybody, it's the attrition rate from the national team is insane. So we'll always be sort of a team in transition. And we're also somebody who gets very excited by the new team. When you see a new player coming in, listen, we're all excited. I see, like, if you look at it in a, I mean, I'll get a lot of flack for this. How much has he done other than some fancy tricks and all? That one goal that he scored, or one assist he made, one of that, I don't remember. But like in terms of, you know, conversion into like useful numbers, goals, assists, not great. Sahal, he pushed him to the moon. Nobody talks about him anymore. It's the same with Ishan Pandita. He's not played 190 minutes. He's not played 45 minutes. And we have already put him as this amazing goal scorer. Yeah, he had a good run. But let's see him. There is a reason why if he's scoring that often, that Juan Fernando still didn't choose him even when Igor Angulo was not fit. So there are things that we have to look at it in a holistic manner, but we just get really excited by the next big thing. And let's face it, the AIFF PR machine is insane. The way the things happen here, you feel like we are, you know, competing with South Korea, right? They are at the cusp of the World Cup. But that's not the case, right? So we just have to, it's a good PR for them. Oh, 10 young boys got the first chance. 11 young boys got first chance. 23 players in 1 year from Constantine. It's good PR.
But how much does that matter?
But that's all that matters. Like, it's, why, can like tell me one
giving...
thing. Okay? Why would India even release the fact that we were trying to go to the Copa America? Sure. Or if you were going to get it, sure. You didn't get it. And the reason is like, oh, our World Cup qualifier is at the same time. If the World Cup qualifier was not at the same time, Australia only would have gone. So these are just random things. And some tweets and all they send is just ridiculous. And I get into trouble all the time with the AFF for this. But it's just the way it is. We just get hyped up.
Are you blacklisted yet? Out of it. Oh, you did? Okay.
But it is what it is. Like, you can't go away from facts. So that's just the way it's going to be, man. You'll just be team in transition. Well, hopefully, at some point, there will be 7 players who are consistent. And then we can have a, we can sort of build a team around.
Well, that about the men's team. But moving on to women's football, the Indian Women's League, the dates for the latest season are out. It begins on the 21st of this month, 21st of April in Odisha. Abhishek, would you like to take us through what can we expect at this edition of the competition? How important it is given that the Indian Women's team will be playing the AFC Asian Cup, which India will be hosting in 2022?
I mean, apart from maybe some scouting for Mimal Rocky, not much. Again, the game time, the amount of games that these women are going to play is way too less to have any significant impact. They'll have the league, and then they'll have a few more camps and a few more exposure tours, and then they'll be in the
AFC. They are already on a tour, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So that is how the cycle is. That's the cycle. I mean, even this time, it's beyond anybody what AIFF has done the qualifiers with the qualifying criteria also. I think everybody saw it on Twitter only. Like, there are way too many questions. And I mean, it's like there is a set criteria in the beginning, and then it keeps changing every day, as and when whatever they like to do. So it's just very frustrating and very confusing for all those people who religiously follow it, you know. Even as somebody who follows women's football in India, if I am, you know, following the qualifiers and I'm looking, okay, these people are going to play directly in the final round, and then suddenly you come to know that there are few chosen who will play in the qualifying, even if they've had a proper league, like proper in terms of AIFF proper league. So even then they're going to play the qualifying, and then God knows what is the criteria of people who are directly making it to the final round. I mean, it's just very bizarre. I think Jenny posted it on Twitter that the Pondicherry, the team that won Indira Gandhi, that the team that won from Pondicherry Women's League, they played 10 games and they were only allowed to play in the qualifiers and not the final round. Why? Because the criteria was a minimum 6 matches in the state league. They played 10, which is perhaps more than most. So it's just very bizarre. The whole organization bit is really bizarre, which kind of makes it really difficult to understand, follow, and really, you know, be passionate about.
Right.
Can I come in?
Yeah, go on.
Tell me, Avrishmi, I think wasn't there a special committee or alliance and all that formed to sort of think about this? And they also sort of reached out to journalists and other enthusiasts like you.
Hmm.
How does that work out?
Nothing much comes out of that. Everything just remains in discussion. Nothing really happens.
What is this thing again? I don't know.
No, there's this women's alliance sort of thing where, you know, you kind of like everybody from AIFF officials to everyone comes together and discusses what can be done around the women's game in the country. But it's all on discussion level all the time. Yeah.
Like the whole Indian football
Well, Sandeep, let me ask you the next question. We are talking about the premier women's league in the country. And this is a league that you covered two seasons back when it was held in Bangalore. What was
last season
like?
It was last season.
It was 2019, right? Not 2020.
No, 2020. Just before the whole world went to
Shetland. Oh, all right. Okay. So, could you talk about it? How was it?
I really enjoyed it, actually. There were some really bad teams, but that is to be expected. But the good teams were quite good. The Sethu FC was good. Kripsa was good. I'm a big fan of Tanmay Grace. I'm in love with her. She's an amazing footballer. And Gokulam, they're like sort of an all-star team. I didn't think they were that great. I thought Kripsa was better, but they won it in the end. But yeah, dude, the thing is, like what Agresina said, it's damn funny. Like in Kerala, Gokulam is going to a qualifier because there is no women's league at all. Sethu won their league, I think, within the criteria that AIFF said they needed, but they are going to the qualifiers. Kripsa didn't even take part. They had some falling out with the local league, but they have been given a chance. That's not because...
Kripsa has gone missing from the latest set of fixtures.
Oh, they have? Oh... Why
nobody knows how. They're just not there in the latest one.
The conflict of interest didn't work.
Yeah, Bermuda track.
Sorry?
The conflict of interest
just go missing.
The assistant coach of the national team. There is a conflict of interest over there. So suddenly they are there. Then I guess there was an uproar or some people may have asked questions. And then they gave two slots to Kerala. Travancore, I think, is another team. Without playing a single game. But Karnataka had an amazing local women's league. I was there for a few games. They did a very good job. A lot of games went down to the wires last year. They have only one slot, which Kickstart has got. Although they expressed the two clubs there, Mathu Pratishthana and Misaka, expressed interest. So there is no rhyme or reason. There will be someone saying, "Mujhe de de yaar," and then they'll be like, "Ah, you take." And then the other person will be like, "Mujhe bhi de yaar." Oh, then cut it from him and give it to him. So that kind of an attitude. And Travancore has some...
Exactly.
Please go and check who all are there in the management in Travancore. might be some eye-opening information over there.
Well, Abhishek, let me ask you this. India is like the Indian Football Federation, the AIFF, is boasting about the fact that they are promoting women's football with the under-17 Women's World Cup being coming to India next year, then the Asian Cup. But ground reality is that the basic league, the premier domestic league of the country is in tatters. What kind of a message does this send?
It's not inspiring at all, right? I mean, like I mentioned, if you follow the game, it's very uninspiring. And about the under-17 World Cup also, I just want to know how much game time these girls get anyway, you know? And after the previous, because of COVID, when the under-17 World Cup was cancelled and now they've got the next edition and they have to have a completely different team because the same girls can't carry on.
Correct.
So where is that team? Where is that team? Any work on that team going on? None.
So you don't have a team and there's a World Cup coming.
Yeah, so it's just bizarre. And then they'll have open trials and then they'll pick somebody. And either they'll pick somebody from, you have your AFC under-16 championships that happens once a while. So you pick some people from there and then you have open trials and then you pick people. So there is no sense into it. There is no structure. Again, there's way too much lack of structure. So how do you constantly generate... how do you constantly get players or how do you constantly improve the national team if you don't have any sort of structure in place and you don't even have consistent flow of players coming in, young players coming in? You have nothing. I mean, the amount of game time senior girls get is way too less. I mean, what? The previous edition of the IWL was 24 days, I think. And your national championships go on for, a month. That is all. That's also because there are lots of teams. But then if you individually see how much game each team gets, it's like barely 3 or 4 if you don't reach the next round. So the amount of game time is so less that it's very uninspiring overall. Just having the national team go on exposure tours is not going to develop the game.
Well,
it's just that.
Yeah, this exposure tours, be it with the men's team or with the women's team, is all just a facade, I think. Like Akash has been talking about it for a very long time. Ghumne jate hai, log thoda bahut khel ke aa jate hai. It doesn't help anyone in any respect, right, Akash?
Yeah, it's just a short-term fix to try and avoid embarrassment in a
competition. Is it even a short-term fix? I don't see it as a fix for anything.
Hi, it's a short-term fix because you're basically sort of fast-tracking the amount of game time a team gets before they enter a competition. Otherwise, they won't get any game time. So it is a short-term fix. It has no relevance to long term. It is to save your face in a competition that you've won and that you're hosting without really on merit, to be honest. Because if you think, I understand where how Abhishmina is talking about women's football. I mean, the more I sort of find out from people like Abhishmina and Filarima as well, who's I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. But she's the one who created a Twitter thread. The more I find out, the more I get enraged because you have to understand how ISL dominant our ecosystem is. As long as that one game is coming on television every night, nobody cares about anything else. Wasn't IMG Reliance also responsible for all of Indian football? But so everything that happens is happens in this sequence, right? Somehow AFC or FIFA show us some interest in hosting something, which is about 6 years before the tournament and 2 years before they decide whom to award. Suddenly we realize, array, now that they're showing interest, we have to show something. So it's like if Sandeep visits my home and my room is a mess, just because of his visit, I will clean it up or for a temporary fix and then it will go back to normal later, right? That is what we do. I mean, when we were awarded the under-17 Men's World Cup, after that, that was the condition on which the youth league was created. Can you believe that a football association or federation did not have youth leagues or the vision to have leagues, underage leagues? They were forced to do it because they were supposed to host the tournament. The same way, the interest on women's football is similar because you have this carrot of being awarded certain competitions. So exactly. when the under 17 Women's World Cup got postponed from 2020, right?
November to 2021st.
So first to 2021, now that's gone to 2022, right? Mm. So even I tweeted, I tweet in a very sarcastic way, but it was true. Relief, champagnes in the AIFF office because they don't have to give a shit about women's football for another year. that's the only reason they give shit. They gave some shit to for the under 17 batch and everything, right? And now, like Abhirish Meena says, koi idea nahi hai, koi chal raha hai, wo kahin pe. There's no...
Two of those under 17 camp girls, who I don't think made it to the final, if there was a final batch.
It was under selection. I mean, it was still under sort of the group was large, I think. I don't know.
The group was large. The group had some 28 girls, I think. Obviously, they weren't. They were in camps and all before COVID. COVID, they were in camps.
Talking about exposure tour as short-term fix, this should serve as an example. We spent so much on these girls and we spent so much on the boys' batch under 16 and these tournaments got postponed, which means this batch is useless to them, useless from this tournament point of view now.
Yeah.
So you've actually consumed money. And now these players are not going to play in that competition. Now you're going to throw money on another set of players. And this will keep on happening. So the exposure tour is just every discussion we have on Indian football is sort of it stems from the fact that we don't have a domestic structure. We don't have our own.
Exactly.
Region, whether it be PIOs or exposure tour or everything is the root cause is the same.
Yeah. And, just to add in to the exposure tour a bit, I mean, I don't understand why do we go so far away for exposure tours when our standing in Asia is nowhere and we can actually play against teams nearby and actually get probably better, in terms of the quality of game or the learning that we'll get, quote-unquote, would probably be better. I mean, even if we just play Bangladesh's women's team, we'll see how tight the match is because Bangladesh's women's football structure is better than ours.
Yeah, Abhirish Meena, what did you say? It's like Indian dreaming of a European vacation. Please.
See, our songs only. In the movies when poor people have romance, they go to Switzerland. So how can AIFF and football players not go to Europe? That's the basic.
although Sandeep is joking, but this is true. We are very Europe obsessed. With infrastructure, with development, with
everything.
Everything we are very Europe obsessed, and we don't really. Like there are easier ways to sort of get game time.
Exactly.
If you remember once, sorry, I'm dragging this question a little longer. But if you remember, the under 17 men's World Cup team went on an exposure tour for 2 years.
Mm.
They came back. They played against Minerva Punjab, who was the winner of that batch in the youth league. And that one game created so much controversy because I think Minerva won. From that game alone, the camp had 7 players from the Minerva team who hadn't gone to exposure tour, but directly selected from that one single match. And the final 21 had 4 players from that one single match. So you took a bunch of boys for 2 years on an exposure tour. You came back, you played an exhibition against the topmost youth league side, youth league champion, and you got 4 players out of 21 from that one match. It tells you how underutilized our own, we have players here. You can get game time. You don't need to fly all over the place. Yeah. I understand you flying all over the place for facilities and you can use it in a different manner. But when you're playing all in, because this is the only way, it is just silly. It is just silly. This also goes back to that Olympics question you had asked, which Abhirish Meena had answered. Mm-hmm. The kind of sport we excel in is always an individual sport.
Correct.
because somebody can just work in isolation despite the system, forget everything, you have money, you can work in isolation, you get training and you can compete. Like that person can probably doesn't even need an Indian affiliation, that person can probably compete as an independent.
And well, your Abhinav Bindra is a shining example of this. Did everything by himself.
Yeah, exactly. In the Olympics, I don't see the team sport ever coming up, because we just don't have the vision to have a team sport, because our vision is always this: get a bunch of guys, send them to an island, and then train them, and they'll be world class people. I wonder why the rest of the world doesn't do it. I mean, do we not wonder that? Do we not wonder why the rest of the world has these systems and leagues? Why do they waste time on all these structures and leagues and systems? Kya matlab?
What is this, Akash? This is the Indian way. This is the Indian way of doing things. Well, on that note, I think we can move on to the questions now, because there are some really interesting questions. And I think these discussions will carry on when we try to answer those questions. First up, we have a question from one of our listeners called Navid. Sandeep, this question is for you. Do you think the gap in the physicality of certain players against teams like the UAE is a cause of concern for the national team?
So there is two ways to look at it. Right? Constantine during the Asian Cup, specifically and multiple times, said our physical numbers in terms of runs and stamina and all those kind of things are at par with these top teams. The point is, we run too much because our first touch is bad.
Yeah.
So we keep running all over the place and we don't know when to press. Like if you see that game, UAE game, you were pressing, but that press was not at the right time. So your front three are just running. Yeah. The midfielders are not running. And then suddenly the midfielders are running and the defenders are not running. And then suddenly everybody's running back because those guys have got the ball and they're transitioning very quickly. So that it's not so much physically that is a problem. Yes, we have a lot of players who are small in stature. So sure, like you need someone like Rowling Borges or maybe Ashutosh Mehta in your team, or even a Mandir Singh as opposed to a Jerry for the lack of a better example. So that in set pieces and all, we can defend. Because that is one thing. Height might be a problem because a lot of our players are coming from the northeast and all are not very tall. And Indians generally are not very tall. So that might be an issue. But in terms of purely physical attributes and energy and effectiveness and all, I don't think we are too far behind. But again, our technique is what leaves us, forces us to do extra work. Because do you remember the SAF Cup that we lost to, who was it, Nepal? No.
Bhutan. Afghanistan.
No, Afghanistan is okay. We lose to Afghanistan. They are actually pretty decent people.
Okay.
But their coach also scouts I-League, just by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Harun Amiri and Sharif are playing in I-League.
Oh, yeah, right.
They may have all these players of foreign origin or Afghanistan origin, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But they do scout players from I-League also, just FYI, for Stimats to hear. But the point is, like, we are right up there in terms of physical attribute. But technically, so the SAF Cup thing was, the number of times our players on the wing took a first touch and then took another touch and a third touch to control the ball. And then we are used to seeing high-level football, right, on TV. And then you see this Mane trapping the ball in one touch and turning in the next. And we take three touches to trap the ball. And then we'll think about turning before that somebody will jump. So that's why we keep running more. So physically, I think we are fine. We're probably up there in terms of fitness.
Well, moving on. Next question, Football Baba, this one's for you. This question is about the national team, but a little far off. Navid wants to know, can JJ Lalpekhlua make a comeback into the national team?
Oh, of course he can, but it's very unlikely. If he couldn't find a place in the East Bengal lineup where a 17-year-old in brackets plus 0 to 5 years,
plus.
17-year-old was playing ahead of him just as a placeholder because somebody had to play. That's how Robbie Fowler had approached this season. And JJ couldn't even find a spot in that team. So he's a long, long, long way away. However, our striker crisis is such that you can't really predict what's going to happen.
Koi bhi aa sakta hai.
Anybody can come. But if after all this and all this hype and all that, and you know, so many players coming up, if you're going to go back to JJ, then I think we should sort of have a moment of self-reflection.
Yeah. Well, that answers your question.
It will be an amazing comeback story. You can find it on AFF.com.
All right. Well, let's carry on. Like, we need to keep the jokes at minimal. I'm just laughing the entire recording here. Abhishek Vina, the next one's for you. This one comes from Trevor Pereira. He wants to know, was it wise of Coach Steemarch to use so many new players against a better quality opponent like the UAE and carry on with his experiments? Or else he could have just done his experiments against weaker teams if and when they end up playing a weaker opponent per se.
I mean, it also depends on the fact that how many games the national team gets to play anyway, right? I mean, I'm not too much for constant experimentation that Steemarch keeps doing. But also, if he wants to experiment, he gets these games only. Because the national team doesn't get to play too many games. So, I mean, it's a dodgy bullet. I mean, I am not too for so much experimentation because at least for the amount of time that he has been there, he should have at least his basic, like the basic set of players that he really wants. But I mean, if and when he chooses to experiment, I mean, he gets these games only. So you can't really pick on him for that.
Well, Abhishek, since you said that, let me bring the next question also to you. This one comes from Roshan. And he wants to know if Steemarch has found his, say, 11 to 14 boys that would play for his Indian team.
I think he has. I mean, if not for, say, Sunil Chhetri could not make it to the tour. So he would have been there. You have Jhingan that he definitely wants at the back. You have Gurpreet that he wants in goal. So I do think that he has a basic like set of players in his head, but they may not be 11 to 14. I think it's just about like 5 to 6 that he's completely sure about.
All right. So moving on to the next question. Sandeep, this one's for you. You comes from a handle named Dr. Gloom. And his question is, Sandeep, do you think that the current crop of players in Indian football are technically better than the previous two generations?
That's a difficult question to answer.
Give it a go.
So, yeah, in some ways, at least, it's a difficult question to answer because earlier there were a lot of players who were technically very sound, a lot of goals. They were very technically good. A lot of Kerala players who subsequently, if you look now at the Kerala players specifically, most of them who do go to ISL level or national team level rely very much on their physique, like speed and power. Their skills are not as polished as an IM Vijayans or Anjeris at that, so to speak. It's not that level or VP Satin. But now, the Northeast players, their skill is very, quite highly developed because they have a thriving local league. They play, if you are an Aizawl player, you play close to 50 games. You can play close to 50 games. I don't know if all of them do play. But because of the local leagues plus the I League and things of that nature, you get to play a lot of games. So that way they are able to develop a lot. But I won't say, it's tough. It's a very tough question to answer. Because Renedy was phenomenal with his free kicks and you know, the dead ball delivery.
Then you have Steven Dias.
You have Steven Dias, yeah. Another exceptional dead ball specialist.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are really good players. You had Eugene. We forget how good Eugene was because he just burst on and went off. Like what I would say, right? Like on the point of Eugene, our players are not able to sustain. I touched on this earlier also.
Right.
And there are examples like Eugene is there. Although injuries can help him. Reno, Keegan, Balwant, all these players who at one point looked like the next big thing but couldn't sustain that level of performance. So maybe
even JJ for that matter, right?
Yeah, even JJ for that matter. So maybe it's a mental thing. Like maybe the whole process is you have to work. You have to work and keep working to go up and up and maintain that level. Like the more famous you are, the more closer you are. So you have to get more and more out of yourself. So maybe it's a mentality thing also. Let's hope that changes if that's the case.
All right. I hope that answers your question, Dr. Gloom. Well, moving on to the next topic where a lot of our listeners have asked this question, that is PIO, a player of Indian origin, which has been the talk of the town ever since India lost to UAE, a team that had two players, naturalized players, of which one ended up scoring a goal. So, Akash, let me bring you the first question, which also comes from Dr. Gloom. This is not a lot to do with the PIO, but he wants to know, why aren't players from India, Indian players, moving out to other Asian leagues? What's the problem?
The problem is that Asian leagues have a limit on foreigners. It is that simple. Point one is that nobody's really inviting Indian players. Point two is, even if they want to, the Asian leagues have a limit to foreigners. The European leagues don't, which is why you have an opportunity in Europe that there is no such restriction. So this is one of the basic things that people sort of forget about, why Indians try Europe versus why they don't try Asian. In any case, the Asian leagues have higher quality and they don't really need to invite Indians. But even if you want to try and get into a Thailand or some of these Southeast Asian countries, you are restricted by the homegrown rule. So which is not the case in. It's that simple right now.
And also, can the Indian players get paid a lot more in the ISL than if they go abroad? Because the market value, if you are of that level that you are getting interest from abroad, they will get a higher wage packet here. So if you are an Indian player, 10 years, 11 years, you might get playing at the top level, make as much money as you want. So
that about why Indian players are not going out to the other Asian leagues. The next question, Sandeep, this one's for you. I remember you had a conversation on Twitter with this man, Roy Aran, who wanted to know. So this is his question. It's a pretty long one. I just read it out. I know your views regarding PIO, but what do you think are some of the positive arguments on the side in favor of including PIOs? It's not like that we want to add random Africans and South Americans like everyone else is doing.
See, this is the point of PIO, right? It's a cop-out for the federation. And to act, if that is an option. But to be fair, India does not support dual passport. So if you do want to get a PIO, you have to change policies. Now,
why law of the land needs to be changed.
Yeah, and all because three or four agents want this to happen. And the national team coach, like Stimach's reason why Stimach was picked, apparently, was the knowledge that he had on Indian football surprised the selection committee. And he should know the level of the players also. So the moment you come here, then you start talking about PIOs and things. Every time we lose, one loss to Guam, PIOs. One loss to UAE, PIOs. But when you do well and get to Asian Cup and almost make it, and all, you're like, Indian football, what a league that sparked it all and all that crap.
Well, you haven't
leaked. No, that was the catchphrase. No, leaked that sparked it all, where we finished last in Asian Cup group. Okay, so
granted, factually that was wrong. Let alone the performance, but factually that was wrong.
Absolutely, but even there, cold hard facts. If you look at it, I was very proud of the way India performed in that competition. Mm-hmm. But cold hard fact is, like, you finished dead last in the group,
right?
And in a group where a third place team could have potentially gone through. So that's the level where we are. And PIOs, again, how much of a difference is it going to make? How many are desperate to come and play here? So what happens? Let's say Jan Danda or Danny Bath or someone comes. So what happens to the Indian centre-back who barely gets a chance to play but is somehow managing to stay in the team? He doesn't get a chance. So now are we going to complain the winger that played 20 games in the ISL is not chosen because this one guy from Swansea came? So where does this end? Like, we will always complain because that's just the way the world is. We'll find some reason to or some excuse or some this or something that. And one argument I heard from someone was we need players to have, like, kids to have posters of players who they can look up to. Look up to Sunil Chhetri.
Look at what he's done. Poster.
Exactly. Like, look up to Baichun. He's gone abroad and played in England, which is no easy task. No?
True.
Sunil has gone abroad and played in Portugal and in US. And his latter half of his career after 28 is the most impressive one. And that's phenomenal. At 36, nobody is better than him in the country. A 36-year-old man is better than every single player in the country. So look at these players and look at Sanjay Singh. Whatever limitations he may have as a centre back, he's made himself into a national team player who's absolutely key for the national team. Look at players like that. These Sunil grew up idolizing the players that he saw in and around Kolkata and Delhi when he was growing up. There are players who talk about Eugene being someone who they looked up to. And all the youngsters are looking up to current national team players. So it's not like you don't have people who have done well in our system that is worth looking up to.
Absolutely.
Or else you look up to Lionel Messi. That's okay also. And see if that inspires you. Whatever works for you, man. You don't need to have an Indian player only to inspire you, right?
Correct. Well, Akash, what about you? Do you see any positives in this whole PIO argument?
Yeah, there are positives. If there is every man for himself, which Indian football is allowed, then let's get in PIO so that I can see India in a World Cup before I die, because that's the only way I'll see them in a World Cup.
But, bhai, wo to hone wala hai na, because we'll end up hosting a World Cup very soon.
That's true. Yeah, I doubt we'll host a senior World Cup. The amount of cultural change that needs to happen in our society for that to happen is just immense. So anyway, but see, the positive argument, well, it's not a positive argument. The argument is that there are countries who are doing it and gaining an edge. So the entire Qatar team that won the Asian Cup is like that, right?
Yeah.
It'd be laws of land or anyhow. I mean, it's a competitive edge thing. So I do sympathize with people who point and say that these countries are doing it. The problem is that those countries may or may not need to do it. While we are sort of, we'll take that, if this is allowed, we will stop our even the little bit of things that we do on our domestic structure, it'll entirely stop. It'll just become that alone, right? It'll only be PIOs and only OCIs or however you want to say it. Right. Overseas citizens of India. I think it's the same thing. It stems from a failure of being able to do things on your own in India. But what an incredible failure it would be for a nation of what 1. How much are we now? 1.4 billion. To rely on players. 1.4 billion to rely on players from out.
Exactly.
It is a cop-out, like Sandeep said. It is a bailout. So, obviously, the laws of the land are not going to change because India wants to play in a football World Cup. And I particularly despise agents who raise this only to raise their own profile. Over the course of the last few years, this has happened a lot. There's this one. So over the last few years, whenever this topic has come up, there has been an agenda behind most things. There have been foreign agents who want to promote their player. I think there was once this Wolves player. Danny Bath. Yeah. So that particular agency also has a sports platform. So full on promotion they did about Bath, just to promote the player. I don't think they had any intention of him playing for India. But in general, there is just vested interests in bringing the PIOs up. Same is the vested interest in sort of lobbying for foreign referees, to bring foreign referees to India, etc. Because somebody is making money out of it. And obviously fans are taken for a ride in this. So the only positive argument is that other countries are gaining an edge, and unfortunately we can't do anything about it. So you might as well focus, keep our head down, and if we want to achieve something, let's achieve it our way so that we can be proud of it. In any case, there's such little to be proud of, whether we play an Asian Cup competition or whether we play a World Cup. Every time it's because the competition has expanded. Right now, FC Goa is the first club to play in the Asian Champions League. But of course, the last 6 seasons, there have been clubs who have done the same thing, but haven't had that opportunity. I mean, FC Goa has finished top of the league, right? So there have been teams who have finished top of the ISL, but because the competition hadn't expanded then from 32 to 40, that's why they're not getting opportunities. So again, we are doing some chest thumping that this is the first time and we've earned it. It's always like that. There's very little, I don't even feel enough pride in a lot of these achievements which we portray as achievements. So you might as well try and get some pride in, right?
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.